I am the beginning and the end, the Almighty God. By mine only begotten I created these things. Yea, in the beginning I created the heaven and the earth, upon which thou standest. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. These words begin and end the Bible. They also indicate the beginning and the ending of all visible existence, for creation was undertaken that the Lord Jesus might come into it. His coming is inherent in the order of the world. His first coming was to his own, and his return shall likewise be to that which is his. The meaning of the world lies in his advent. He is not only one possible meaning among many others, but the only meaning which includes and ends all others. History, science, ethics, art, all find their ultimate meaning in him, for he is the ultimate commonwealth of value, as Dr. Temple has pointed out so beautifully, and his coming again is inevitable. This knowledge is a truth of revelation based on faith, or we may say, it is a result of the gift of the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. In this knowledge we may find both ourselves and our place in the divine scheme of things. It is not a piece of information gratuitously offered to enable us to get somewhere, and which may find its place with other information we may gain from a study of the world. This knowledge has a world of its own, apart from this temporal existence. The coming of Christ to his own at the last day is not so much the prediction and expectancy of a future event, as it is the designation of a process in which we are involved now, and which issues ultimately in a last day, when time shall be no longer. We are inside this process, for it gathers all in its inevitable motion, since God has designed to gather all things in one, in Christ. It is of a piece with such knowledge of God as he himself chooses to make known to us, and as such it is primarily his property and not ours. We take our place in it. It does not take its place in our scheme of experience, but enables us to fit into God's order. No word or knowledge of man can compare with the knowledge of God which he makes known to us in communion with him. Knowledge gained from the word and the order it keeps is world knowledge. The world and God are not correlates. Therefore, knowledge of God and knowledge of the world are not in the same sphere. Discovery is not the same as revelation. Reason, logic, and human understanding, and based on the thinking process of man, has a sphere which enables man to conquer time and space and subdue substance. But such knowledge is not of faith, for faith is the power which connects man to the spiritual, intangible world of God, or the realm where God dwells in light and love. World knowledge in this respect may tell us some things about the Creator, but only when he himself confronts us in communion and addresses us do we ever really meet him. Faith is that power created in the soul of man by God to enable him to make himself known, and in making himself known, make us his. We do not possess revelation in this sense. Revelation possesses us. The Spirit has its own realm of power and light, its own principles of functioning. And when he comes into our lives to give the knowledge of God, it is never that we might possess such knowledge as our property to gain our ends. Such knowledge is always to the glory of the Father, that we might be possessed, and in being so indwelt, transformed in his likeness. This is really the coming of Christ. All historical events have their roots in human lives and attitudes and character. The wars which rage over the earth tell of a divided humanity, humanity which is not at peace within itself. So if ever Christ is to come again, he must first appear in the hearts and lives of his people and dwell in them by the power of his Spirit. Only when that is accomplished as a fact will he return again to the earth. Only then will he come into his own. That is the meaning of the passages which say over and over again, I am in your midst. The coming of Christ is a work of faith, and no philosophy of men or scientific approach to any department of life can disclose the process now in operation or reveal its ultimate glory. This is not to say that the world and man, apart from this confrontation of God, are without sustenance from the divine. Conviction of the existence of God can be deduced or inferred from an analysis of creation, for all things are created and made to bear record of him. But only God himself can reveal to man what he is. Only God can tell man what he will do. Let us remember that men see things as they are, and their judgment is colored by character. The eye sees what the eye has power to see, and in this regard the statement that man is the measure of all things contains the element of a vital truth. All men are at fault to some extent, and the bias toward evil is in each one of us, and consequently reason and judgment are somewhat impaired. Only in a perfect man would the universe be accurately and completely focused, so that the essential counsels and truths born of communion with God would enable him to truly understand every existence and interpret all experience. Jesus was perfect, and it is in him alone that the truth is free from associated error and distortion due to sin. "I am the Spirit of Truth," he says. To view correctly the created order, so as to see the ends towards which it is proceeding, it is necessary that man have his spirit, a spirit which he gives them to guide and inspire them in consonance with his purpose. Revelation is thus absolutely essential if we are to know the mysteries of the kingdom, for the promise is that to him that keepeth the commandments will I give the mysteries of my kingdom, and the same shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. This means that the knowledge of the telos, or the end, the second coming, is a divine gift, not a human achievement, and it comes from above, and must be spoken with care and constraint of the Spirit. That Spirit is not our property, it is his. And when men attempt to crowd together into some kind of system the truths of revelation, and then try to make that system a substitute for actual communion with God, they change the truth of God into world truth. We cannot systematize the mysteries of the kingdom, for when we try to do this and make them an object of our knowledge, they depart from us, and instead of being the means of our exaltation, become an instrument through which we exhibit our pride. The mysteries of the kingdom are revealed by the Spirit, who is that personage in the Godhead, enabling us to see and understand the divine will and mystery, and who sets us apart and empowers us to do as we ought. We cannot change God truth into world truth. So, every philosophy not informed by the Holy Spirit misses the mark. For only in Christ, as he is revealed by the Spirit, do we see and know the truth about God, about man, and about nature. Only in the communion which God reveals himself do we understand what the second coming means. In such communion we find no weariness of mind, but a renewal of soul. If the Spirit dwells in us now, we can see Christ coming then. His future advent is disclosed only to those in whom he dwells in the present. Our Heavenly Father, all things are thine, and as it behooves thee to come into thy creation in the coming of Jesus Christ our Lord, so thou wilt come again to that which thou hast created upon the earth through thine atonement. Yea, we pray thee, come, Lord Jesus, and help us to be ready for that coming. Amen.